wedding ceremony consists of two parts. The wedding ceremony consists of two parts, Erisim and Nisuim. In the days of the Tanakh and the days of the Tanaim and Amoraim, there was a long pause in between Erisim and Nisuim. Erisim is Kiddushin, and Nisuim is a Chuppah. During Erisim, the girl is an Eshesish, Shalom the Beis HaBaal. And during Nisuin, she's an Eshesish, the Beis HaBaal. The Pasuk says at Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to say, Bidui, Chippur Ba'ado Ubiyad Beiso. So the first Mishnah Yuma, that Beis HaMan Aleph, understands that the Kohen Gadol has to be married. And it says, Bidui, for himself and for his wife. Chippur Ba'ado Ubiyad Beiso, Beis HaZawishto. So the Gemara explains a little past the first daf in Yuma that he has to have Nisuin with his wife. If he only has Erisin, that's not called Beis HaZawishto. So that seems to be the essence of Nisuin. Nisuin is Hachnasa L'Rishus. Erisin is accomplished by Maisa Kinyan, Kinyan Kaspa. We had in yesterday's Sedra. Koyin Kiyikna Nefesh Kinyan Kaspa. Not only Koyin is allowed to eat Truma. Eishes Koyen, who's even if she only has Erisin, then Torah she's permitted to eat Truma. Midirabbanon, they had two reasons why, the Gemara discussed why they prohibited an Arusa from eating Truma. She has to be a Nesua. So Rashi writes on Kiddushin, on Daf Yud Amud Beis, that this the Gemara knew all along, that a Nesua la Koyen is permitted to eat Truma. That's based on the Pasuk, Kol Tov Beveischa Yochal Kodesh. In the Sifra, the Torah's Kohanim comments on the Pasuk, Kol Tov Beveischa Beisu Zawishto, the Reshus Koin Nesua is Ochelus Betruma. The Gemara was just searching for a Pasuk to demonstrate that even Ishto Arusa is Ochelus Betruma, so they quoted the Pasuk, Koin Kikna Nefesh Kinyan Kaspa. Kinyan Kaspa means the Behemoth's Koin is Ochelus Betruma. Kinyan Kaspa includes also the Reshus Koin Ochelus Betruma. It's not necessarily to be equated. Let's say when you feed the truma to the behemoth, so you don't recite a bracha sheker ishana b'kedushas u'shalayim. That's a heter. You're permitted to feed it to behemoth. By an arusa achelus b'truma, that's a question. Is it a heter, like by the behemoth? Kinya kaspa is a heter. You're allowed to feed it to the behemoth. So you're allowed to feed it to arusa asai menatayra, or is it no? It's a mitzvah, and she should say a bracha before the kohen eats truma. Even Chavas Chutzlar, the Rambam writes, the last page in Hilchas Trumas, Rambam writes, when the Kohen is about to eat, let's say, drink a cup of wine of Truma, or eat a cookie of Truma, so he says, Bar Minim Zainis, then he says, Hashem Kedushani, Bikdushas Shalav, it's Ivano, Allah Chilas Truma. So the Shaila is, what about Eishes Kohen? When she eats Truma, does she also say a brocha? Hashem Kedushani, Bikdushas Shalav, or is it only a heter? So by Nesua, the Pashta says that it is a mitzvah. By Arusa, it could be that it's a machloikis hatanoim. When you learn the Gemara, it could be that it's a machloikis hatanoim. There is a Yiddish expression, hardly anybody knows any Yiddish today. When a person delays, it takes him a year and a Wednesday to take care of something. So, a yor and a mitvach, that expression comes from this din, that from the time the man gives the girl a ring, says Harem Kadeshusli, he has to do Nisuin within, by the end of the year. He has up until the end of the year, till the Wednesday after the end of the year. If the girl is a Besula, that's the first Mishnah in Ksubis. Besula Nisus Liom Avi. That was a Takanas Hatarayim. Then Mark gives you all explanation why. That if the girl is getting married for the first time, she should get married on a Wednesday. And then, strictly speaking, doesn't apply Bizbanazek, because it has to do with the fact that in the days of the Tanaim, the Batidinim would only meet on Mondays and Thursdays. And we don't want to have the wedding on a Sunday. The Gemara gives all the reason why. So we have a wedding on a Wednesday. So if they have Bir Rishayna that night, Wednesday night, and the husband thinks that she's not a psula and he wants to be Mafsid or the Ksuba, he'll be able to go to the Bezin the next morning, on Thursday morning. So we don't have Batidinim set kavua Monday or Thursday. We don't have that practice anymore. But the Acharonim write that the minig, you try to get married on a Wednesday, and if you're getting married at night, so Tuesday night is considered a Wednesday. Even though Tuesday night, you should really say Tuesday night, so go to Bezna on Wednesday morning. But Bezna is not in session on Wednesday morning. But that's what that was the minig, that if you're getting married at night, you get married on a Tuesday night. So in the days of the Goyim, they decided that this is too risky to have the girl have Kiddusha now and not have Nisu until a year later. The girl is an Eshes Ish, she's going to have it if she's not living with her husband. Arus Asura Labailo, Midirabban Minator, Arus is Materis Labailo. And it's only also Midirabban, Arus Asura Labailo. There's a Sefer Abu Dram. The Abu Dram is one of the late Rishonim, early Achrenim. Abu Dram. It's a commentary on the Siddur. His premise is that every phrase in the Tfilas, every phrase in a Bracha must be written in Biblical Hebrew. The Netziv thinks that the whole premise of the whole Sefer is wrong. Netziv throws out the whole Sefer. But that's what the Abu Dram is all about. The Abu Dram is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch once in a long while. So the Abu Dram writes, I think the Sheet Mukobetz quotes at the beginning of Ksuvus. The Abu Dram writes that Arusa Asur LaBailo is an Issa Deraisa, and if the husband is Baal Arusasai, he's Chayv Skila. She's an Ara Hamaras. That's absolutely not accepted. We hold that it's wrong. The Gemara said the Verish. Arusa Asur LaBailo has only been the Rabbana, the nearest Yehuda, and they never accepted that that Issa Derabbana. So there's a fundamental difference between Kiddushin and Issa. Kiddushin is a Kinyan. Mishnah starts off with Isha Niknes. It's a Maisa Kinyan. The chalois is not a chalois kinyan. The husband does not own his wife. He doesn't have a kinyan isa either in his wife, alpi pashtus. But the maisa is a maisa kinyan. Aisha niknes because of the bishtar bibia, and arusa chelus betrumim and atarah because she's called kinyan kaspo. He got the ishus through making a maisa kinyan. But nisuin is not a kinyan. Nisuin is hachnasa l'rishusa. How do you do kiddushin? How do you do nisuin? So kiddushin, the Mishnah says you have a choice, ben atarah, you have a choice. Kesef or Shtar or Bia. With the Rabbana, they prohibited Bia. Rab Mangid, Rab would give back a smart Haman the Mekadosh Bia. So he left with Kesef or Shtar. And the Rambam says, Kmanog, you call Israel, the minig by the Jews is that you used Avke Kesef. What do you mean the minig by the Jews? The non Jews are reading the Rambam. And the Rambam's telling you what the minig is by the Jews. So very strange. He has the same by Bris Milo. He says, the minig by the Jews is, you can. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Milo. You can perform the bris milah with a knife, with the scissors, with a sharp piece of glass, sharp piece of metal, a sharp blade of grass, paper. If you have sometimes paper, you can cut your finger on paper. If you can cut the orla off with a piece of paper, you can do that. Then he says, and the minig is that we dafke you. The minig by the Jews is that they use a knife. Why do you use a knife? You should use a scissors. You're cutting around in a circle. A knife is awkward. I remember we once had a couple of years ago, we had a moyel was demonstrating. He wanted to show the boys in the kollel that the moyelim don't do the milah properly. So he took videos of different moyelim doing bris milah, and he was showing us the videos, explaining why that's wrong and that's wrong and that's wrong. So part of the bris milah that he showed us was there was a little bit of oil hanging, and the moyel had to take the knife and cut it. He said, so strange, why didn't he use a knife? Why don't they use his scissors? He didn't know himself why. So the Rambam says, Karnog, you call Israel to do the bris milah with a knife. Why? You know why? So there used to be a professor, Simcha Asaf, in the beginning, at the time of HaKamas HaMedina, 74 years ago, he was a prominent person. He was in the Rabbanut. He was a member of the Rabbanut. And he did a lot of research into the Karoim, different things from the Karoim. So he writes that the Karoim had this hang-up, that they had their own Torah Shabbat. They didn't accept the Torah Shabbat. They had to make up their own Torah Shabbat. So they had a whole shtick that you can only perform a bris milah with the scissors, because the Pasuk in Yeshua says, Kach lecha charvos tzurim shuv mol es b'nei Yisrael sheni. So you should use charvos tzurim. Charvos tzurim means, according to them, two knives that cut one against the other. That's the scissors. So because the Karoim insisted on using a scissors, so the Rambam says, the meaning by the Orthodox Jews, not by the Jews as opposed to the non-Jews, meaning by the Rabbinic Jews as opposed to the Karaites, is that we don't use the scissors. We want to demonstrate that we don't accept anything that the Karoim says. So the same over here. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Ishus that Kiddushe Kesev is Torah Shebal Peh, and he doesn't say this, but the Karoim don't accept it. There are three different groups of Karoim. There were Karoim in Asia, in Africa, and in Europe. And each group had a different practices on different things. One of the things that all three had in common is none of them accepted Kiddushe Kesed, because it's only known through the Torah Shabbat Peh. Kicha, kicha, mistei efren. So that's why the Rambam says, Well, no, Kol Yisrael, the Kaddish B'Kesef. Meaning by the rabbinic Jews is that we choose to do Kiddush HaKesef to demonstrate that we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat. So that's Kiddushin. Kiddushin is a Kinyan Kaspo. And Nisuin is Hachnoso L'Rishuso. How do you do Hachnoso L'Rishuso? It's very unclear. That's the Ran on the first page, and the Ran on the Rif, the first page in Ksubas. How do you do Kiddushin? They tell you, Vishnu tells you in the beginning. How do you do Nisuin? It's very unclear, so there are different opinions, and we do all of them. So one opinion is that the Badekin is the Nisuin. Why is the Badekin the Nisuin? That's based on a pasuk in the Gilas Rus, Ufarasta Kanafecha Ala Masecha, that you do Nisuin by the chosen doing the Badekin. Ufarasta Kanafecha Ala Masecha. Others, so it's a question. First you do Eris and then you do Nisuin. We always do Badekin before you do the Kiddushin. So that's a discussion in the Mishlam Melech on the Rambam. If you did Nisuin before Erisin, is anything Chal? So he proves from Tshuvas Rashi, that's quoted by the Mordechai, that if he did, L'chori you have to first do Erisin, make the girl into an Eishes Ish. Then if you do Nisuin afterwards, that's Hachnasa L'Vishuso. Just a Moshal Ma'adah V'dayma, the Gemara says, full ownership consists of Shaloyu B'Shusoi, and Gozov L'Anes Yashah Abanim, someone stole my automobile, I don't know where it is, that is Shali, the Eina B'Shusi. When he gives it back, then it becomes, I become the full Bailam Shali U'B'Shusi. And if something is Shali, Be'ena B'Shusi, Be'ema Gezula, so the real owner, Eina Yochel HaHagdish, Ve'ena Yochel Limker, Ve'ena Yochel HaHafker, and if it's my Sushani, it can't be put in the my Sushani, because to be a full Bailam, you have to have Shaloi B'Shusa. So to be a full Eishusi, you need Shaloi U'B'Besoi. It's not B'Shusi, that it should be B'Besoi. So you need Hachnasa U'B'Shusa. So the Mishlam Melech shows that there's a, he quotes, there's a Chulis Rashi quoted by the Mordechai, if he did Nisuin before Erisin, it's Chalan, how can she be a Nisuin if she's not even an Arusa? So the Pashtus is, when you do the Nisuin, nothing is Chal. But when later on you do the Erisin, she'll go two steps at a time. Usually you go from a Pnuya to an Eishes Ish, a Lovi Beis HaBaal, then you walk onto the Chuppah, and you do Nisuin, she becomes an Eishes Ish Beis HaBaal. If you did the Nisuin before the Erisin, so nothing was Chal now, but if you'll do Erisin later, then she'll go two steps in one. She'll go from a Pnuya to become an Eishes Ish Beis HaBaal. So that's our practice, that we do the Badekin prior to the Kiddushin. So that's one opinion. That's quoted by the Mordechai. It's quoted in, instead of being quoted in Ebenezer, where it belongs, it's quoted in the end of Yeridah and Hilchas Avelus, when they talk about there's a din in the Gemara, the beginning of Ksubis, all the preparations for the wedding were made, and then one of the parents dies, one of the Mechatanim dies. So what do? Do you postpone the wedding, or do you postpone the Kvura? So it's a whole discussion. So there, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah with the Taz, with the Dogon Mavah, but there, the end of Yeridah, Hilchas Avelus, that's where they quote this and discuss this opinion quoted by the Mordechai that Badekin is the Nisun. Another opinion is that when they put the talus over the Chasam Kala, the Sfardim still do like that. And by the Yekis, they have a lot of, by Frankfurt, they have a lot of Minhogim. All the Sfardish and Minhogim. Whenever there are two Haftaris, by Broyas, they say the Haftarah from the Sfardim. Or the second day Rosh Hashanah, they don't say Shechiyonu on Kiyah Shefer, like the Mechaba, like the Svardim, or on Purim in the morning, they don't say Shechiyonu on Mirka Megillah, like the Svardim. They're not sure exactly why, but they follow all the Minhagei Svarim. So they still have the practice of putting, like the Svardim have, they put the talus over the Chosan and the Kala's heads together. And they feel that that's called Hachnos of Vishusai. That's the Farasta Kanafecha Ala Masecha. Others feel that years ago, you didn't send out letters, you didn't send out invitations 6 months in advance when you're going to get married. You didn't have to book a hall and you didn't have to book the orchestra. So when the girl went to mikveh, so they would tell everybody in the city that she'd get married another couple of days. Today you have to book the caterer and you have to book everything in advance. So you have to So you pick a date, and then sometimes it'll turn out that the girl is not able to go to mikveh. So if the girl went to mikveh, then you're going to have a talus over both of them. She didn't go to mikveh, you're not going to have a talus. It's going to be embarrassing. So it could well be that that's the reason why they changed that practice by everybody else. And they don't put the talus over the chas and kala, because sometimes they can't if she didn't go to mikveh. So they have the talus on top, or they have a cloth chuppah. So the cloth on top is a farasta kanafecha ala masecha. And others are of the opinion that that's not at all what it is. What it's all about is if you have a chuppah with four poles, that's what we call a tzuras ha-pesach. When you make an erev, in order to be permitted to carry out Shabbos, so that's we assume Allah Moshe Mesir. If you have karni mikam, karni mikam, karni al gabeim, if you have two doorposts and you have a lintel on top, that here you have a door, so the door is a mechitza. If you wouldn't have a door, so the tzuras ha-pesach itself would constitute a mechitza. So if you have four of those, a rectangular shape, so you don't really need the cloth on top, you just need a string going from on top of one pole to the other pole, one to two to three to four, back to one again. So that's like hachnasa l'shusa, that constitutes a different room. And even though the parents are there under the chuvah, the Masadi Kedushin is also there, but the chasen and the kala go under the into the room, l'shem nisur. That's a chuppah she'ein ruya l'biya, because there are other people in the room, and all the people are standing in the room. The Rambam's opinion is that achnasa l'mishusa, you need yichud in a room, that it should be a yichud sheroi l'biya, shouldn't be anybody else there. So these are the different opinions, what constitutes nisuin. And then the Vilna Gaon is of the opinion, and that's what Chacham Avadya accepts. He said that's the Sephardic practice, that they follow that opinion. The definition of nisuin is hafnasa l'ushuso, when they go home, when the chos and kala go home at the end of the wedding, hours later. So that's what he raises a question. But they say b'chus nisuin under the canopy, and that's 5 hours, 6 hours before they go home. So isn't that a little bit over? It's a violation of over l'asiyosam. The Gemara says you got to say the bracha. The Gemara says a b'chus hamitzvah has to be recited over l'asiyosam. Why did the Gemara say koidim? Why they use the Lashon Oiver? The Gemara proves from Tanakh that the word Oiver means before. So why did they say Oiver? Why don't they say Koidim Asiyos? The answer is Koidim could be 5 hours before. Oiver means immediately before, as opposed to Oiver the Oiver. That's what the Rishonim say. Oiver Asiyos, but not Oiver the Oiver. Shouldn't be waited there. Should be immediately right before. The Gemara says, when you say the Broch on the Tefillin Shel Yad, when it's on your arm and you're about to tighten it, that's Oiver Asiyos, immediately before. You don't say the bracha when you're putting the tefillin on your arm, when you're taking it out of the tefillin zekel and unrolling it and unwrapping it. No, say it when it's already, Gemara says, you say it when it's already on your arm, you're about to tighten it. So that's a problem. So Chacham Avadya fudges a little bit on this. Why do you say the bracha in advance? It's 6 hours before they're going home. So he says, because it's not really a birchas hamitzvah. Correct. You don't say kiddushan ben sos v'tzivanu. In the Bichas Nisun, Bichas Eresin, you say, Shikashan B'tzvayis V'tzivanu Al HaRoyos. But after you read the Ksuba, then you do the Bichas Nisun, you don't say Kishan B'tzvayis V'tzivanu. It's a Bichas Shevach V'hoidoya. A lot of the Shevach Brachas is a Shevach V'hoidoya. The Shevach V'hoidoya, that din doesn't apply. The Rishonim say that din doesn't apply, but still, it's something similar to that din. It still doesn't make sense to say the Bracha 5 hours in advance. Why is Bedafke? Why the Chacham Avadya will insist not to have a yichud right away? Dafke, to wait till they go home, that'll be the nisun, because the girl isn't covering her hair. So an arusa doesn't have to cover her hair, but a nisua has to cover her hair. So that's what he's concerned about. So by the yekis, their practice is that they insist the girl and Tells was on the border of Germany, right near the border of Germany. So they had a lot of Yekeshim and Hogim and Tells a yeshiva. And they have the davening of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is also the Tells a Nusach is the Yekesh and Nusach. It's like the German Niggin of davening. So they had the same practice that they would insist that the girl should wear a shekel to the chuppah, because under the chuppah she's going to become an Esua, so she's supposed to cover her hair. The rest of the world doesn't follow that practice. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was quoted as having said, I don't know if it's in his Svarim, but they quoted him as having said that, strictly speaking, even if the girl is in a suah, But if they didn't have Bir Rishayda yet, so strictly speaking, she doesn't have to cover her hair. So everybody knows, even after the Yichud, everybody knows they didn't have Bir Rishayda yet. So she doesn't have to cover her hair. But the next morning, she doesn't have to advertise to the public whether they had Bir Rishayda when we went home. So the next morning, she should start covering her head. That's what they quote in the name of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein.
According to Rabbi Avadia, was he still in Rusa? Would he be allowed to touch her hand and after...
That's a big problem, yeah. Rusa su'ala baila kenida, yeah. So the Braisa in Maseches Kala says, Kala b'lai bracha, Asur la baila kedida. How do you translate kala baloi bracha without birchas nisuin? It doesn't mean birchas hersna. Birchas nisuin. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. So some say kala baloi bracha, even if you had nisuin, but you didn't. Let's say you did erisin, and you didn't say the brachas. So the Rambam says, let's say, once in a while it happens. I attended a few weddings where the grandfather was so excited that he's being beside a kedushin by the grandchild's wedding, he forgot to say the birchas erusin over excitement. So what's the din? The chassan already gave the ring and said harei amukodeshesli, and beside a kedushin didn't say the bracha over lasiyos. What's the din? So that's a machlokes in hilchas shechita and yerudeis and yutes. If the shochet didn't say the bracha in advance and he just finished shechting the payment, not that it's an hour later and he wakes up and he forgot to say the bracha. Let's say you put on talis and tefillin when it's too early before Mashiach is chaver and you daven, then you forgot to say the bracha after yishtabach or after tachlon. You forgot to say the bracha. You took off the tefillin already. Can you say the bracha immediately after you take off the tefillin? So the Rambam says no. You can never say the bracha l'achar asiyosim. The Rambam writes, Masha nasa kvar nasa. Farfan, you already did the mitzvah, too late. You cannot say the bracha l'achar asiyosim. And the Ozarua brings a raif on the last Mishnah and Psochim. And the last daf himself, he claims, you can figure out from the last Mishnah that you may say a bracha. The chatchila, the brichas hamitzvah, should always be recited over lasi yosem. But by the evid, it's soon after, you can recite the bracha lachar asi yosem as well. So that's the practice, that if the grandfather, out of excitement, forgot to say the brichas hamitzvah in advance, and then everybody screams out, what did he do? Then he says the bracha lachar asi yosem, like the Ozarua. That's what it says in the Hilcha Shechita. Let's say you're shechting an animal. Let's say you shecht an animal, you know in advance that it's a treifa. But if you shecht it, it'll be matarbi nevela. It won't have tumas nevela. It won't be allowed to eat it. But when you shecht the treifa, it removes the tumas nevela. So that's a machlokes whether one says a bracha. Rashi is quoted. The Rishonim quote Rashi Paskin. You don't have a Rashi on the Gemara. Rashi Paskin that when you're about to shecht the treifa, you may say a bracha because the shechita is chal letarbi nevela. That's not the accepted psak. When you shecht the treifa, you don't say a bracha. So what if you're shechting an animal that you know in advance that it's a shaila, if it's a treifa or not? So the Ramah says you should not say a bracha. You should shecht the animal without a bracha, then check to see inside. Usually you have to check inside to see if it's a treifa. If it turns out that it's not a treifa, then you can say the bracha later. So that means that there's a long shach there. That means that we pass on like the Ozarua, that by the Eved you can't say the bracha lachar asiyosam. Or maybe not so, because the Gemara says, Dab Zayin in Psochim, the whole Gemara, but reciting Bechas HaMitzah, Evel Asiyosam, a ger who converts, says a bracha when he comes out of the mikveh. Tovol B'Yola, after the ger comes out of the mikveh, and he's already Jewish. First he had Kabbalah HaMitzah. First he committed himself to observe mitzvah. Then he had the Bris Milah. After the Bris Milah, then he's Tovol in the mikveh. So he can't say the bracha before he's Tovol in the mikveh, because he's not Jewish. Akate gabalochos, he's not. How can he say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Kedushan v'tzosim v'tzivon? It's not true, he's not Jewish. So Tovol B'Yola, since he wasn't able to say the bracha before, so the Chachamim said the takana is let him say the bracha afterwards. So that's what some interpret over there. The Ramos says, if the, you know in advance the behemoth is a suffix trefa, and you're going to have to check afterwards before you eat it. So since you weren't able to recite the bracha before, so there, akati gafal achos, since you weren't able to, then you say the bracha l'achar asiyosim, doesn't necessarily mean that we always with paschan like the Ozarua, they can always say the bracha l'achar asiyosim. Yeah, let's say the fellow forgot to say, he didn't say the bracha on the talis and tefillin when he put it on. So if he didn't say because it's before Mishyakir's chaveh, right? So then it says he can say the bracha He can't say the bracha later, still wearing the talis and tefillin. That's over lasi asim. What if he forgot to say the bracha after yishtabach or after tachnun? Can he? And then he took off the talis and tefillin, and then he reminds himself right away that he forgot to say the bracha. So he say there also, since he wasn't able, that's the takara derabbanan. You shouldn't say bracha and talis and tefillin before mishiyakir. Maybe you can say there also, since he wasn't able to, but he was able to say the bracha after yishtabach. He was able to say the bracha after tachnun. Should have said it before. So that case will be a machlokes, the Rambam and the Or Zoruah, where they can say bracha or not. Happens. That the Masada Kedushin forgets to say the Birchas Erusin before the mitzvah. Yeah. So let's say you did the Nisuin. In order to recite Birchas Erusin l'chatchila, we require a minyan. When COVID was going around and the government prohibited people from being together, so strictly speaking, you can do Birchas Erusin without a minyan. If there's a Shas HaTak, you can do Birchas Erusin. Just have to have two Edim Lekima, though, that you have to have two kosher Edim. But Birchas Nisuin, the Torah says you have to have a minyan. If you don't have a minyan, you can't recite Birchas Nisuin. So let's say during serious COVID, and you're not allowed to have a minyan, so you can't say the Birchas Nisuin, period. That's Maka, you can't say so. So she's Asura Levaila. So that's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Machlekes achreinim and some rishonim are involved also. So the Rashba in a tshuva says that the husband is also to live with his wife. Kala b'lai bracha is to be taken literally. You have to say the brichas nisuin. And some of the recent poskim, there used to be Dayan Grosnas in London. I was just in London, so I spoke about several of his tshuvas. He wrote the prominent Dayan in London for many years. So he has a tshuva, and then here in New York, there was a big Talmid Chacham, Rav Tuvia Goldstein, who also has the same tshuva. They paskan l'halacha, like the roiv of the achronim, that the bracha is not miyakev. Kala b'lo bracha means kala b'lo nisuin. Nisuin you can do without a minyan. Just he can't say biches nisuin. So kala b'lo bracha doesn't really mean b'lo bracha. Means kala b'lo nisuin asur l'bayda. So if he did nisuin without a minyan, we would be make of that they're allowed to live together. Yeah, when is the biches erusin recited? Do we assume like the Rama biches erusin should be recited oivel asiyasim immediately before the chasen is about to say hareyat and to give over the ring? Some rabbis have the practice that they say Birchas Erusin, and then the Chasen Kalah takes a sip of the wine, and then they start a whole conversation under the chuppah before the Chasen gives the ring. So they say, does the ring belong to you? Did you pay with the ring, with your own money? A whole story, a whole federal investigation over there. If they want to ask all these questions, which are pretty silly, they should ask the questions before the rabbi says the Birchas, and you're not mafsik in between the Birchas HaMitzvah and the Mitzvah, has to be Ovel Asi Asam immediately before. So it's not 100% Ovel Asi Asam because someone has to take a sip of the wine because it's said Bar Piyah Gofim. But then next thing after sipping the wine, they're supposed to have the Kiddushin, not to carry on the whole conversation. So those who plan to ask all these questions should ask in advance. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say you ask a whole series of questions to the Chasen. It says, you ask the Eidim, when the Chasen shows the ring, you ask the Eidim out loud, is the ring a Shavu Pruta? It's a little joke, when the ring Shavu Pruta? Kala picked that out, it's worth a few $100. She picked that in the store. We wanted to know, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, we wanted Kala to know that she's agreeing to marry the boy, even if it turns out that it's only worth a nickel. As long as it's worth a Shavu Pruta, it's good. Because she may think that it's worth thousands of dollars, and it's only worth $100 or something. So the rabbi asked the Yadim, is it Shavu Pruta? And the Kala hears it. So it means that she's masking to, you should say out loud, is it Shavu Pruta? Not whisper to the Yadim. The Kala should hear that, is it Shavu Pruta? And they say yes. It means that she's agreeing to marry him, even if it turns out that it's not really worth as much as she thought it was worth. Yeah, so some Rishon, the Ravid and a group of Rishon, were of the opinion that Birchas Erusin should be dafka, not be recited. Ovel Asiyasim have different reasons, but we don't follow that opinion. So l'chatchila we do like the Rambam, because according to the Rambam, Mashenase Kranase, if you didn't say the bracha Ovel Asiyasim, you lose the opportunity to say the bracha. According to the other Rishonim, that the bracha should have really been recited after giving the kiddushin, davke elach ha'asiyasim. But even if you do it elach ha'asiyasim, it will be good. So rather than satisfy their opinion, you can't satisfy both. So rather whether the bracha should be recited elach ha'asiyasim or elach ha'asiyasim. So if you do like the other Rishonim say, the bracha after the giving of the ring, according to the Rambam, it's bracha l'batala. If you do like the Rambam, say the bracha before you give the ring, so the others will say that b'di'evit, it's good. So we choose to do like that. We give, we recite the Birchas Eiris and Oy Balas Yosam before the Chosin gives the ring. Yeah, why do we read the Ksuba in between the Eiris and the Nisuin? So the Hagos Maimon quotes the Rabbi Natam, who's the one who introduced this practice of reading the Ksuba in between. In the days of the Tanakh, in the days of the Tanoim and Amorim, until the middle of the days of the Goinim, there used to be a long pause in between Eiris and Nisuin, a couple of months, up until Ayoranam Bitvach, a year and a Wednesday in between. So we don't have that anymore. We have the Takonif and the Goinim. You should have the Nisuin right away, because it's not a smart idea. It's risky. The girl, if she'll be Mizan, she'll be Asur Labailo, and she's not living with the husband. So it's a problem. So we have the Nisuin immediately following the Erisin. But since in the days of the Tanakh, there was always a long pause, so we want to make Chodsh a little pause. So we do something to be Mapsik. So really, you can have the rabbi give a drasha under the chuppah. When my first daughter got married, she married a boy who was a student of my Shia, who was from Switzerland. So his grandfather came to the wedding from Switzerland, and they held a whole drasha under the chuppah to tell everybody who the yichus of the family. Everybody should know that they have big yichus. Okay. 45-minute drasha, a pause in between Eiris and Nisuin. The people didn't know Swiss German, so they couldn't understand. And he didn't speak Yiddish, so he spoke Ivrit. So the people didn't understand. Most of the people didn't understand Ivrit. So he was speaking for 45 minutes in between the Eiris and the Nisuin. That's good. Or you can have a chazan sing a nigun. So the Rabbi Natan introduced that you should read the Ksuba. Where did he get this idea to read the Ksuba? Because we have the Gemara in Ksubas has a sofek. What's the din of Yichud Shena Roy Labiyah? So Rashi and Tosfos learn a different pshat, but the Rambam learns that the Gemara Sofik is if you make chuppah shenu roi labia, if the kala was a nido, and when they had the chuppah, is it koina or not? So the Rambam writes that that's a sofik. So chuppah, if the girl is a nido, that's chuppah shenu roi labia min ha-Torah. The girl is a nido. So the Magen Mishnah quotes from the Sefer Huitor. Sefer Huitor is one of the Balei HaTosfos. He lived in Marseille. So he says, he also learns like the Rambam, she has to be Ruy Labiyah. Rashi and Tosfos learn a whole different pshat, what's going on. But the Sefer Uita learns the Rambam's pshat, that's a shayla chupish and Ruy Labiyah. And not only should you see to it that it shouldn't be en Ruy Labiyah men ha-Torah, you shouldn't shtel a chupah when the girl is a nidah, it should be chupah ha-Ruy Labiyah even on the level of the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says it's aser for the husband to live with his wife if she doesn't have a ksuga. So that's why we insist on giving the ksuba to the kala before you do the nisuin. So since you have to give it the ksuba before the nisuin, so the Rabbi Natan introduced that you read the ksuba to waste time. Some rabbis have the practice when those who read the ksuba on the luchuppah, they read it quickly, not to take up too much time. I think it's not correct. The whole idea of reading the ksuba is to have a hafsoka. It doesn't have to be 45 minutes, like at my daughter's wedding. But you should read the Ksuba slowly, you shouldn't read it quickly. I remember there used to be a prominent rabbi, Rabbi Lezer Silva. He used to live in Cincinnati. And when he would be at a wedding and he would read the Ksuba, it would be a dramatic presentation. Everybody had to be quiet. And if someone would talk in the middle, he would stop and he would start all over again from the beginning. And he read it very slowly, because the whole purpose of reading the Ksuba is to have a hafsoka in between the Eiris and the Nisuin.
How can we run a hafsoka?
How come
we want to have sakra?
The Rabbi Natan has this. You want to retain at least partially the old practice that there's a pause between Eiris and Nisun. The days of the Tanakh, there will be a year in between or a couple of months in between. So we don't have mamash any hafsoka, right? One after the other. So Rabbi Natan said, make a little hafsoka at least. No, not a din. No, it makes the Bar Piagofen look a little better. It's a problem. They just said Bar Piagofen on the Bichas Eversen. Then they say again Bar Piagofen right afterwards, mamish half a minute afterwards. So if you read the Ksuba in between, it looks a little better. It still doesn't make any sense. What are you saying? If you drank a sip of wine and then you said Asher Yotzar, you read the Ksuba in between, then you want to take another sip of wine, you have to say another bracha. So we assume the answer probably is that on Pesach night we say Ashkenazim say Bar Piagofen all four times. Because the Sfardim only say Bar Piagofen on the first course, the second they don't. Then Kos Bichas Hamazon, Bichas Hamazon is a Hesach Hadassah meeting. Kos Bichas Hamazon say Bar Piagofen, the fourth course they don't. And the Ramah course, the Ashkenazim have the practice, we say Bar Piagofen, each one is another Koshel Brocha. So that's the explanation. Our practice is say Bar Piagofen on the Kos of Mitzuin, even though he just said it half a minute ago, Bar Piagofen. What is saying another Bar Piagofen? So the answer is another Koshel Brocha. But if you read the Ksub in between, it looks a little better. Looks a little better. At least there was a little bit of a pause. And you should read the Ksuba slowly. And if the rabbi wants to hold the drasha under the chuppah, the best time to hold the drasha is then. It's not right to hold the drasha at the end. After he said the Sheva Brachas, the Bichas Nisuin, so most have the practice, Chacham Avadi recommends not to by the Svarim, but most have the practice that you go to the Yichud room, because Bechosh is for the Rambam's opinion, that the Badekin with the talis on the head, with the chuppah, with the tzuras ha-pesach, all of this is meaningless. That the yichud room, that's the nisuin. So you want to have a bracha over lasiyosim immediately before. So the maril has a loshen meritzim esachosim esakala lecheder ha-yichud. You rush the chosim kala to the yichud room. The Magen Avraham also quotes from the Chuvus Ardoya Mizrachi. Magen Avraham didn't write a commentary on Eben Ezra, but he has it on Orach Chaim when it says if you say a bracha over food, you shouldn't be mafzik in between the bichas anenin and eating of the food. So he says, he quotes the Chuvus of Avraham Mizrachi, that you shouldn't be mafzik in between the bichas nisuin and the yichud room, because we do the yichud to satisfy the Rambam's opinion that constitutes the nisuin. So you shouldn't have a pause then. A lot of times the practice is the rabbi will hear the sermon after the whole wedding ceremony is over, before they go to the yichud room. So that's a violation of the din. You should rush. Meritzim is a chosim akala. It's not right. The photographers take all the pictures then. And then everybody's kissing everybody else under the chuppah. All the parents are kissing all the children, all the friends are all dancing. It takes a long time till they get to the yichud room. That's not right. More correct is that they should rush. Meritzim is a chosim akala l'cheder ha-yichud. Not to have too much of a pause. We do Badekin, we mentioned, because one of the opinions is that the Badekin constitutes the Nisuin. So there's a Dogel Mervov is the name of the commentary of the Nerdy Behuda on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch. So there at the end of Yeridah in Hilchas Avelus, where they talk about the Badekin, Mesavib Shulchas and Ema Shakala. So the Dogel Mervov writes that there were certain areas in Europe, I think it's Volin. It's not Lithuania, and it's not Galicia, it's a different section. So in Berlin, I think he writes, the minig was that the Chosin didn't go to the Badek, the Chosin stayed behind. The Rabbanim went, and they would Badek the Kala. So he says, but the Chosin, that's supposed to be the Nisuin. So doesn't the Chosin have to be there when you're doing Nisuin? So he answers, he says, it's self-understood that the Chosin is implicitly appointing the Rabbanim as a Shliach to do the Badek on his behalf. And just like he can make a shlich to be mekadosh an isha, isha miskadeshes, isha mekadosh bo b'shlucha, isha miskadeshes bo b'shlucha, that's opening Mishnah in the second parak in Kiddushin. So too, the Dogma Baba thinks that you could do nisuin al yidei shaliach. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that it wasn't correct. They had a whole shiur, in case you want to see the shiur, when his uncle Rav Velvela passed away, so he delivered a big hesped. So in a long footnote in that Hesped, he alluded to it, but he wrote up the Hesped later on, it was printed. So in the footnote, he has a long arichas as to why he thought like this, why it's very questionable whether he can make a shliach. So whenever Rav Soloveitchik would be there and the chosin would be doing the badekin, it would always, usually the mother of the kala stands there. The chosin doesn't know what to do. So mother kala usually takes the veil and she puts it over her daughter's head. So Rav Soloveitchik would always say out loud, no, the mother shouldn't touch the veil. Only the chassan should do. He can't have a shliach. The mother shouldn't do. The chassan has to do everything on his own. That was because he felt that he can't have a shliach against this dogam levavah. When you do the Kiddushin, the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Avsam Levav learns out from Sukkim that you have to have Eidus Lekim Adav. If you don't have two Eidim watching and the Chosin gives the ring, the Kiddushin is not Chal. We assume the same applies to a get. It's a little questionable. We assume the same applies to a get. That's what we call Eidus Lekim Adav. What about Nisuin? Does Nisuin also need Eidus Lekim Adav? So that's a discussion in the Arsameach, and the Marcheshes. They talk about the Marcheshes was a Dayan and Vilna together with Rav Chaim Moisev. He's older than Rav Chaim Moisev, Rav Henoch Egish. So the Marcheshes shows, he thinks that it's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. Really sounds like it. So if you really need Eidus, that's what we usually do when you go to the Yichud room. So you have Eidus Yichud. It doesn't really say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that you need Eidus Yichud, but that's a big Machlekes. So we require, so then the question, if you hold that the Badekin is the Nisuin, then maybe you have to be Miyachad Eidim for the Badekin. So sometimes Rav Soloveitchik would do that. He would be Miyachad Eidim for the Badekin on the concern that maybe the Badekin constitutes the Nisuin. Who recites the Birchas Erisin is a big question. There's a very interesting tshuva. There used to be a rabbi in Zurich, Switzerland, Rabbi Breisch. He passed away a long time ago. He was a mechutin of Dayan Weiss from the Eirach HaRedes, from the Minchas Yitzchak. His sefer is called Chelkas Yaakov, of Yankov Breisch. So he has a very interesting tshuva. So he shows, according to the Rambam, the Birchas Erisin is the Birchas HaMitzvah. So the chassan is supposed to recite the Birchas Erisin. Pizchei Tshuva quotes a suffix from the Nodi Behuda. What if the chassan is deaf? Can the Masada Kiddushin say the bracha on behalf of the deaf chassan? You can't hear. If the bracha is supposed to be recited by the chassan, so the rabbi saying it is based on Shemei Kohena. What do you mean Shemei Kohena? But the rabbi's not getting married. The rabbi got married a long time ago. The rabbi is still single. So why is the rabbi? Shemei Kohena means if I'm saying Kiddush for myself and you're paying attention, so you're also Yotze. I'm already married. So what am I? So it's not Shemei Kohena. That's called Yotze Moitzi. Even though I already got married 55 years ago, I can say the bracha for you. So that's a question. There's a Shilti Gibboirim in Rosh Hashanah on the side of the Rebbe. Shilti Gibboirim says, Yotza Moitzi, because we were all obligated to recite Kiddush together when Shabbos enters. I already said Kiddush, you don't know how to say Kiddush. I can say Kiddush a second time for you. But we're all mechuyev to have Tkiyah Shofar. I already was Yotze, I blew Shofar and Shul. I heard Shofar and Shul. I go to the hospital and I blow Shofar for my grandmother. So that's Yotza Moitze, even though I was Yotze. But if I'm not having a bris, I'm going to say a bracha for you. You're having a bris, you're having a pinyon, you're getting married. I didn't share in the chiyuv. So the Shulchan Aruch says, you can't say Yotza Moitze over there. But our practice is not so. Why do we have the rabbis say, we should really have the chosen say the bracha? So they say in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the tshuva from the Rishon, Kedei shelo levayesh es mi she'eino yodea. Sometimes a chassan does know how to. He never said this bracha. It's a long, complicated bracha. So he never said the bracha before. The first time he's getting married. So he'll be embarrassed. He may fumble under the chuppah and mispronounce the words. So that's why Kedei shelo levayesh es mi she'eino yodea. We don't allow the chassan to say the bracha on his own. We always have the rabbi, Sadi Kedush, to say the bracha on his behalf. But the shad is if the chassan is deaf, so he can't say Shemei Kohena. So how is he going to be? So then you should tell the chassan he should say on his own. Say the bracha on his own. So the Nadi Behuda has a suffix. Maybe the Masadi Kedushin can say the bracha on behalf of the kala. The kala doesn't have the mitzvah perivarivya, and she pashtus is the two girsas and the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs. The more correct reading seems to be that just like women are exempt from perivarivya, so too women are exempt from the mitzvah of getting married. That's what it's. The Rambam counts them as two different mitzvah lisa isha, b'ksuba v'kidushin, and mitzvah lifras v'livras. So if women are exempt, but the woman is helping out the husband to fulfill his mitzvah of getting married, by her agreeing they marry him, so that's a question in the Nadi Behuda. If the chassan is deaf, does it make sense that the Masada Kedushin should say the bracha to be moitzi the kala? I once attended a wedding where they were both deaf. The chassan and the kala were both deaf. So that's it's not right that the rabbi said the bracha. The chosen should have said the bracha. The chosen, the kala were able to speak. They should have said the bracha themselves. Anyway, so the shita saramam is that the bichas erisin is a bichas hamitzvah. Really, the chosen should say safik and that Yehuda were the chosen and the kala are only the chosen. Masheni kerek according to Taisus and the Rosh of the opinion the bichas shevach vaidoya. It doesn't belong to the chosen. Whenever you get married in public, so the tzibur has to say the bracha. So they quote in the name of Rab Simcha Zelig that the practice in Europe used to be, there would be, the rabbis would say the bracha Bichas Harrison, even if the couple were not believers, they were communists. The communists were atheists. They got married with city kedushin to make their parents happy. The parents were religion, the children were communists. So they didn't believe in anything. So the rabbi can't say the bracha on behalf of the chasen kala. Hashem alakeinu kitshanu v'tzivanu. They don't believe in anything. So the rabbi would say the bracha on behalf of the whole minyan. So they quote in the Afikayam, he quotes Rav Simcha Zelig said, obviously we pass in la halacha like the Bali Ataisus, that is not a bichas hamitzvah, bichas shevach v'hoidor. Because we say the bracha on behalf of the chasen. We say the bracha even when the chasen kala are apikursim. They don't believe in anything. But so the Chelkas Yaakov has this tshuva. Who has the right to decide who's the Masada Kedushin? The Chosen wants his Rosh Yeshiva. And Kala wants her Rosh Yeshiva. She went to seminary in Eretz Yisrael. She wants her Rosh Yeshiva to say. And if you would ask the people who attend the wedding, they would want the local Orthodox rabbi. They never heard of his Rosh Yeshiva, never heard of her Rosh Yeshiva. The majority of the people attend the wedding, daven in this shul, the rabbi should be Masada Kedushin. So that's what the Chelkas Yaakov writes. It should depend who has the right to choose. Should depend. If you say the bracha only belongs to the chasen, he should have the right to decide. If you say that the tzad and the biyuda, the bracha belongs to the chasen and the kala, so they have to negotiate between the two of them. Who's going to say the bichas erisin? And if you say the way Rav Simcha Zelig says, we paskin la'alacha, that the bracha doesn't belong to the chasen or the kala, we don't really follow the Rambam. We hold like the Bali Ataisus, then you should decide who should be beside the Kiddushin based on the roiv of the tziba there. Whom would they choose to be mechabe? Okay, thank you very much. We will stop here. Everyone should have atzlocha on their finals. The rest of the shiurim will be normal time at 12 o'clock to 12:45. Just today I have to go.